Hello and welcome to the Feminine Millionaire Show. I'm your host, Polly Alexander, and I'm a success coach, healer, creative, and future millionaire. If creating money and success in a spiritual and feminine way is your goal, this show is for you. Understand how to overcome your past, bring your soul's greatest gifts to the world, and uplevel your income, impact, joy, and happiness. Join me each week to be inspired and uplifted as you learn the business, mindset, energetic, and spiritual shifts you can make to create your own wildly abundant life and business. Let's all rise together. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Feminine Millionaire Show. I'm really excited to have special guest Kate Liedker on the show today. Kate is a very talented interior designer and she's going to be diving into her story of overcoming her limiting beliefs, her lack of confidence, her childhood, into following her passion, to creating a business that she absolutely loves, that plays to her gifts. And I think one of the things that most stood out for me about Kate's journey is her ability to trust her instinct, to really listen to her intuition and to lean into it. And I'm really excited to share her story today. But before I dive in, I will share a little bit about Kate. So she is the principal designer and owner at Catherine Demur Interiors, an interior design firm based in Sydney. And she has a lifetime love of design and over 11 years of professional experience. Her design philosophy is all about calm and relaxed sophistication. You have to check out her Instagram. We'll put links in the show notes. It is beautiful. And clients come to her because she can interpret them and their mood and create a space in which they love to live. And it's not just about the visuals, it's not just about the finishes and furnishings, but it's really about a true understanding of what makes her clients tick. So, welcome, Kate.
Well, thank you for having me, Polly. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I love having talented creatives on the show. So I'm really, really excited for you to share more about your journey, everything you've overcome, everything you've created. But let's sort of rewind, because you weren't always a talented interior designer and business didn't always come easily. So would you like to start from the beginning, sort of what led you to starting your own business?
I think I'd spent a lot of years searching for what I wanted to do when I grew up. And experiences I had as a young child at school really affected my confidence in myself and my belief that I could become whatever I wanted to be. And I think it took me a lot of soul searching and a lot of years to really come to interior design where I needed to be. And it's a funny story because I was out with a group of friends and talking to this lady, had no idea she was an interior designer and that her daughter was an interior designer. And she said to me, oh, you know, Christy and I are interior designers. And it was like a bolt of lightning went through me. And I thought to myself, oh my God, this is what I need to do. This is exactly where I need to be. And I went home and I Googled all the interior design schools that were out there. And I was a mum, 39 years old. And 2-3 kids, and was thinking, how do I juggle this? How do I juggle wanting to start this career that I was just so eager to start and have my family at the same time? And settled on this school called ISCD, asked my husband, because I was really low in confidence and just needed someone to basically hold my hand and just helped me through it, said to him, come to an open day with me. And I walked in and I felt like I was at home. And from that moment on, I looked at him and I said, I'm signing up. I'm signing up today. And I have never looked back.
So tell me a bit more. I love that lightning bolt that you got. Tell me a bit more about your connection with your intuition. Were you always intuitive or did it just suddenly come through in that moment? Like, how did you know?
I think I've always been intuitive. As a young girl, I was extremely sensitive and really sensitive to picking up on other people's emotions. And I think I knew from a very early age that that intuition was really strong in me and that it was something that I could really harness and I suppose use to my advantage in a way, and that it could really help me to guide me in all areas of my life. And it actually hasn't proved me wrong. And it's funny because I actually try and teach my kids that your biggest asset is your intuition, that it's your best friend, that if you actually, like you say, lean into it and let it guide you, it never lets you down.
So tell us a bit about what you were doing before. I mean, so many of the women I work with, they come to their passion or their true calling later in life. Mid, late 30s, 40s, even 50s. I've had women up to 77 in my programs. I'd love you to share a bit about what you were doing before and also what helped you kind of make the leap at that age. Because I know it can be really daunting when we don't have that wild optimism of youth or the naivety.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I think because of my past, and just quickly, I'll just let everyone know what that was. I had a teacher who actually told me at a very young age that I'd never amount to anything. And from that point on, I basically shut down and didn't think that I was ever going to be good enough to do anything. So I went into high school and went to year 12 and didn't know what I wanted to do. And my parents said, well, why don't you be a secretary? That's a great job. You're organized. You could do that. So I just fell into that and spent a lot of years working for general managers, or my last job I was working for an ophthalmologist. If I wasn't a PA, I was doing secretarial and reception work, which, look, was a great job. I loved the people I worked with, but it actually didn't feed my soul. And I remember bending down at this old filing cabinet, filing on my hands and knees, and I thought, life, like, there's got to be more to life than this for me. I knew in my gut, in my core, that I was meant to do something really, really special. And I had something to give to the world, but it took me, I think, probably a good 15 years to find out what that was. And, you know, it's so funny when I look back, because my husband and I had bought old homes and we've renovated three of them. And did a really beautiful job. I remember being a kid walking into my friend's home and we're at a birthday party and all I could do was look at all the architectural features in this home. So all the signs were there all the way through from when I was young, but I just didn't have the confidence in myself to think that I was actually capable of becoming an interior designer and taking on the responsibility of that. Because with the joy that comes with interior design, there is also a huge responsibility. So I just didn't feel like I was capable of it. It wasn't until I became older and I really leaned into that feeling of I'm meant to do something really great and I've got something really special to give to the world. Even though not knowing what that was, I just kept going back to that and working on it and talking to the universe and feeding that feeling until that point that night. It was like it was a crescendo of that night where my friend said, we are interior designers, and it was like everything came together with that bolt of lightning, and that's what you're meant to do.
So powerful. I always say that, you know, you keep... Our job is to do everything we know to do, to stay on our path, to hold the vision, and then the universe will meet you halfway.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 100%. I've seen it time and time again, of the power of the universe and what it can do for you.
Yeah, when you show up for yourself and you stay in there. I love that you held that, you know, it was a 15-year journey to that lightning bolt.
Yep.
And also, thank you for sharing that, you know, so often the things we love, the passions, the gifts, the talents were in us all along, you know, as you were sharing from, even from a child and then as an adult renovating your houses. And what I find with a lot of creatives, and it certainly was the way for me as a photographer, is that it starts as a passion. It starts as something we love to do. And then we realize we can monetize it, or then it starts to become a possibility. And there's something quite unique about the creative path, is it always seems to start off as a passion or a love. And then we have to almost adapt to making it a business.
And sometimes it's really hard, you know, because I don't know what you think, but sometimes you have to almost overcome the feeling of feeling so lucky, because yes, you're lucky that you've found this passion, but it's hard work too, you know, that gets you to where you need to go in your business.
I would completely agree that it is, in the beginning, there's the passion and the excitement, but the hard work is what creates the success. I always say my easiest job was my first job as a photographer. That was the easiest job because I didn't know what I didn't know. You know, I went in, I just enjoyed it. They loved the photos. I thought, wow, I earned what I thought was a lot of money. Now I look back, you could never sustain a business charging that much. But at the time, I thought, wow, I've earned £500 in a day. Incredible. And I thought, and they loved it. And I loved doing it. And it was so happy. And I just thought, oh, this is amazing. I can totally do this. But as I learned more and more, it actually got harder because I realized, oh, wow, there's all of this to think about.
Oh, I know. And I think that's kind of where I was going. The trap is that you can say to yourself, oh, this comes so easily to me. This is just something that I'm born to do. I feel guilty charging for it and charging what you're worth.
Yeah, this is definitely a big money block I see with creatives, because you'd almost do what you do for free. So it's like, oh, wow, I can really charge for it. And then feeling guilty about charging something that comes so naturally to you. So what helped you get over that in the beginning of running your business? What kind of thoughts or beliefs or habits helped you get over that fear of charging?
It took a little while to sink in. Maybe I'm a slow learner, I don't know. But it did take just... It took a lot of work, but I tell you what, I think for me was the best thing I did was to get a business coach, because she helped me to see that charging nothing is not going to pay your bills, and it's not going to sustain you, and it is okay to actually charge your worth and make money, but still enjoy what you do and feel like you haven't sold your soul, if that makes sense. She really helped me to really hone in and on the skills that I have and what makes me special in this field and what I give to my clients. Because it's so easy, like we just said, when it just comes so naturally to you, to discount what you bring to the table.
Let's fast forward a little. So you're several years into your business. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how you started getting clients, how you started sort of building your name?
My clients have basically come through word of mouth. I started with one client and it just went from there. They loved what I did. They told someone else. That person employed me. They told someone else, and it just dominoed from there. And I think I always went in saying to the universe that I had this mantra about wanting that I was well respected, people loved me, everybody wants to work with me, and I would just keep saying it over and over and over again. And it just kind of built from there.
So what was your process with that? Were you doing it in front of the mirror, like saying it out loud, like when you get up? What did that look like?
I'd say anytime it popped into my head, I'd say 20 times a day. If it came into my head 20 times a day, every time I thought about it, I said it, and I said it out loud. If I was with a whole group of people, I'd say it in my head. And not only did I say it, but I really felt it. Like I really innately, might sound silly, but in every fiber of my being, I really just really felt it when I said it. So there was a real conviction to it.
I find some of the affirmations I've been using a long time, that they're sort of etched in my brain forever. Do you find that?
Yeah, I do, 100%. And, you know, sometimes you go away from it and it might, when you've been saying it for a long time, it might be a week or two, and then you might think, like sometimes I think, oh, I haven't had a lot of calls this week or something like that. So I think, I haven't said that affirmation. So I'll start saying it again. And then all of a sudden the phone starts ringing. It's just so powerful. And it's so easy. We're not talking rocket science here. We're talking about just giving yourself an awesome pep talk. That's what it's like. It's just giving yourself an awesome pep talk and really believing in what you're saying and having that really courage of conviction in it.
I'd love you to share like one idea about yourself that you had to let go of in order to grow your business, because I know you now work with a team, which is a whole other level and super exciting. What was something you had to let go of, you know, in the way we know that when you started out, you had that experience where you were told you'll never amount to anything by the teacher. And I know you also shared with me that you moved house as a child, and that was a big change that also impacted you heavily. So I'd love to hear about something you had to let go of in order to grow your business.
The biggest thing I had to let go of was being in my own way. So I was so in my own way, in as far as I was so frightened in the beginning to make noise, almost to be seen in a way. It was like I was scared of success because I told myself this repeating story for so long that I didn't deserve it. So I really had to work on that feeling of I'm not good enough, almost maybe imposter syndrome in a way. And that sometimes I'd feel like it was when success would happen, it was like an out-of-body experience. It was like it was happening to someone else. It wasn't actually happening to me. And I think when I did this new build with a builder, at the end of that job, I stood back and I thought, oh, my God, look at what you have created. Look at how happy these clients are. That's, I think, when I realized that I was stopping my own success and that I needed to just harness that feeling. And every time I felt like I wasn't good enough, someone was better than me, I was never going to make it, just remember that feeling of what it was like to see the absolute joy on those people's faces when they moved into their home and the joy I felt in what I'd created for them.
So beautiful. I love that you connected to the joy. That's joy is the theme in my Thrive Mastermind. Joy is our July theme.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's such an important quality and it's such a high vibration. And when we can be in that energy more, then it's more magnetic. Things flow easier. We attract things better. So we feel better. So I love that you shared that. You have a team now. Can you speak to how you grew your team, you know, both in terms of the mindset, getting used to delegating? Yeah, I'd love to hear a bit about that.
The team took a little while. I think that came from probably a scarcity mindset. And it's funny how listening to all your podcasts and your meditations.
The Abundance Accelerator program.
That's it. It has opened my eyes more to that and cemented it. But I've had from my first team member, I got maybe March, February 2020, and I've been doing it on my own because I am a little bit of a control freak. But I've realized if I wanted to take this business to the level that I'd like to take it to, you can't do it on your own. There's no way. I started with Joss, who's my admin lady, and she helps me obviously with all the admin, and she's just my right-hand person. She's got my back and she's really committed to Catherine de Mer Interiors and what we want to do, and will do anything to help me get there. And then the next employee or team member is Patricia, who's my interior designer, and she's amazing. And together we come up with some fantastic ideas and we'll sit down and, you know, we'll have a collaboration. So we're doing a hairdressing salon at the moment. So we'll have a collaboration on that. And then once we've kind of got the ideas together, she'll go away and put them into Revit and into CAD and create these amazing drawings. And we come back to each other and it's so exciting. It's so exciting to have someone that's again, sharing that journey with me and so invested in it. And we think alike too, which is great. And then the next is I've got Kate, who's my marketing girl, and she's not been with me for too long, but she's fantastic. She does all the things that I just cannot get my head around doing. One, because I'm 50 years old, so, you know, it just doesn't come as naturally to me, Instagram and social media and all that kind of thing. And two, I don't have the time to do it. And she's just basically taken it, and I can see that the momentum that she's creating is quite exciting. I've got a lovely little team, and the great part is that together as a team we are creating Catherine Demer Interiors. We're all invested in it, and our main goal is just to see people in living their best life in these beautiful homes that we create for them.
What do you enjoy most about what you do?
I think there is nothing more amazing than having that conversation with a client at the end of a project when they tell you how much they love it, how much you've blown them away, how they never could have done it on their own, and what it means to them, how they feel when they get up in the morning. You know, I have one client say, the way I feel when I walk down my stairs every morning and look at my beautiful home, she said, I can't even put it into words. So that to me is just the most amazing gift, because it's hard work. Interior design is hard work. It looks fun. It looks like it's, you know, all pretty things, but it is a lot of paperwork, a lot of specification sheets, a lot of research. There's hard work that goes into problem solving, massive problem solving. You know, every day we're problem solving, we're putting out fires. So to have that kind of reaction at the end of every job we do is what keeps us going.
And I totally know where you're coming from there. Most people don't know I actually trained as an interior designer. When I had my career change, I let you into this secret. I trained in interior architecture, and it's really technical.
Mm-hmm. It really, really is.
It's really hard work. And it was not for me. I realized I love interiors, but I have no desire to design them myself, but I have utmost respect, because I totally understand what you're saying about it looking very glamorous from the outside and very beautiful and all about the pretty things. But, you know, actually the reality of the job, the problem solving and coming up with solutions, the managing projects, timelines, technical specifications, mm-hmm. all of that.
Budgets, yep.
I'm so ready to hire an interior designer for my home here.
Well, I'll come over and help you.
Exactly. I totally understand. I used to be married to an architect, so I totally understand the sheer, it's actually a very, very complex role to pull off something, even something that's simple, that looks simple and beautiful. It's complex to make that happen.
Exactly right, exactly right. And I think that's why I was really particular when I chose the people in my team. It's because they're better at doing the things than me that I'm not good at. So there's no point employing anyone who does the same things as me, because that's not going to grow my business. I need people who do all the things that I don't want to do or I'm not good at. So I think that's why we all work really well.
Yeah. So you've chosen people that complement your gifts and have things that you are less developed in.
That's correct. Or I can't do because I'm trying to build a business.
Yeah. And what's your vision for the future of the business?
I would really love to actually collaborate with some companies and maybe have my own furniture line or linen or wallpapers or something like that. I love the idea of collaboration, and I'd like this to be a seven-figure business. I've got clear goals on that. I'd love to take it to the world. It would be so great to be, when we're no longer in our COVID world, that I can go to the US or Ibiza or anywhere I like when a client makes contact and says, will you come over and do my Hamptons home? How great would that be?
100% possible as well.
Yeah, so that's a lovely little dream that I've got stashed in my brain. My husband and I have got this dream that we'd like to own a house in Berlin because he's got German heritage. Maybe I can do interior design 6 months of the year in Europe and interior design 6 months of the year here.
I love it. I love it. With your team supporting you, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100% possible.
God's limit.
What is true abundance to you? This is a question I like to ask all my guests.
Do you know what? It's really simple, but it's joy. It's that unadulterated feeling in the core of your being, joy. Joy in and happiness in every area of your life. And that doesn't mean perfection every day because that's not reality, but it's just that feeling of joy and contentment and happiness that to me is abundance.
And how do you cultivate that on a daily basis? Because as you touched on, business life is full of ups and downs, troubleshooting, firefighting, unexpected relationship, health, all sorts of challenges come along in the course of life. What brings you back to joy? What practices or rituals or habits?
I think I always like to try and look at life from another person's point of view. I always try not to think too much about me, me, me. And I think when you take the focus for me, when I'm not only thinking about things from my point of view and thinking about how does life affect me and blah, 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 there's, you know, lots of other people in my world that I come across every day. When you think about other people, then it helps you to be humble about yourself.
I love that. I love that you shared that. That was not what I was expecting at all. And it's so perfect because I say to my clients who are earlier in their business journey, when you get overwhelmed with stress and you feel like you're not good enough and you get distracted by the competition, you know, you're making it about you. Stop making it about you. Like, focus on the client and how you can serve. Because the moment you start focusing on how you can serve, how you can support other people, then it takes the emphasis off you.
You forget about the rest and you just focus on what you're there to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. This has been such a great conversation. I just love how much you've shared that trusting the universe, that trusting your intuition has really supported you along this journey. And you've really been on a journey from no self-belief through to actually having a vision of a seven-figure international business and believing that you can create it and that it can be joyful, which is a really long journey to have taken, a really remarkable turnaround. So I just want to honour that in you.
Oh, thank you. I do try and remember that, you know, I think it sounds like a bit of a cliche, but I always thought I don't want to be on my deathbed and think I never actually gave something a try. I never wanted to think that I let them win, that I gave up on myself. So it's a journey, that there is no doubt about that, but I'm really proud that I've actually had the resilience and the guts to give it a go and to actually realize and see that I am good at something and that I feel like I was meant to do this. I was always meant to do this. Everything that's happened has brought me to this point.
100% yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one of the gifts of starting a business later in life, because I think I started my coaching business around the same age, my second business around 39. I think we bring so much life experience, the strength and the wisdom and the power and the determination and the tenacity. These qualities are things that we learn through experience, through life.
That's right. That's right. And that's where age is an advantage, because everyone complains about getting older. But the bonus of getting older is that you bring so much to the table.
100%. I have noticed that my clients who are older who start businesses are far more likely to succeed and stick with it. But there's no difference in talent. The younger ones have incredible talent and vitality and energy and often a natural affinity with technology because they've grown up with it. But when it comes to those personal qualities of grit and resilience and self-belief, they're really developed through life experience. So thank you for being a beautiful example of that and of having that perspective on your journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been a long time coming, but we got there eventually and I'm so glad I did.
Yeah, absolutely. It really feels like you are in your zone of genius and things are really coming and you're just rising and rising. And on that note, I would love you to share a word of advice, and I'm going to divide it into two categories. So let's go back when you were, because when we have people listen to this podcast at all different levels. So let's go to when people are looking to transition from their regular job or career into their own business. What word of advice would you give them when they're having that doubt about, can I really do it? Is this the right thing?
I do think for me that I think the best thing that happened for me was that I really did really consciously think about what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go and visualize where I saw myself going. And I think that's a really good start. And you know, there's so many resources out there. Listening to people like you, Polly, your podcast, your manifestations, all of those things help to settle your mind and get you in a place that can help you, help guide you and trust that gut instinct. To hone that skill, because it really is, it's just amazing when you really hone it, what it can do for you and to guide you where you need to go.
I love that. And those people who've been in business a while, say they're already at six figures and they're on that cusp of growing a team, because that's the only way that you can scale, because your time and energy is maxed out. What advice would you give to somebody at this point? Now, you obviously are a year or two into that journey. So what advice would you give from where you are now?
I think you need to think about where you want to be in the next 2 to 5 years. I never stop learning. I'm always seeking information. I think that really helps. I think once you get a clear idea on also your business, who your ideal client is, I think that will help you to hone in on the right people. So once you know my ideal client is a 45-year-old woman, you know, maybe an entrepreneur, blah, 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 hone in on that, and then you can start to write your job descriptions around it. I need a person who's highly organized. I need someone who's innovative. I need someone who's really good at social media. It will help you to start to write almost like job descriptions on who the people are that you need to bring into your business to get you to the next level. And then the other thing I would say would be try and find a coach. Whatever money you've got to get in to put into that, find the best coach you can for the money and get them to help you set goals and to really make a plan for your business.
So get support and get clear on your ideal client and then write your job descriptions from that place of knowing who you want to work with. Beautiful. Oh, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, such an honour.
Thank you for sharing so transparently and honestly about your journey. I think that's so valuable for people. Everything can look so glossy. I like those beautiful interiors. It can look so perfect and glossy from the outside, like other people just glide through and they always knew and everything fell into place. And thank you for just really sharing the resilience and the intuition and the leaps of faith you had to take and the overcoming in the background, but also the power of joy in your business and in your life and leaning into that and trusting the universe. We'll link to your Facebook and Instagram and website so people can check out your beautiful work. And you have some lovely examples of your projects on Instagram.
Yes, thanks, Polly.
Oh, one thing. I know that the reason we got connected was through your lovely sister who said, well, my sister's actually been doing your meditations. She has your Abundance Accelerator program. I had no idea. Obviously, I don't know everybody that purchases it. So I had no idea there was this fabulous interior designer in Sydney growing this amazing business using my meditations until your sister connected us. I've got to love Instagram for these unexpected connections. So I would just love to hear about what your experience of the meditations was like or how they've helped you.
Oh, do you know, it's so funny because I actually had no idea until I started with that accelerator program, which is fantastic, by the way, that my money issues probably are generational. That go back a long way, because I even remember as a young child having a scarcity mindset about money, and I didn't know anything about money, but I had a scarcity mindset about it. So where does that come from? Because I don't know about you, but my parents never talked about money in front of us. I didn't really understand. I mean, I knew that you paid for things. I knew my dad went out to work and you got money for working, but that was about as simple as it got. I didn't know whether my parents were rich or poor, but it really opened my eyes to that generational or ancestral money, what would you call it?
Story, blockages. Really. Yeah, story patterns, yeah, blockages.
Yeah, and I really think that's where minds come from.
Really interesting. I'm so glad that was able to open that up. It's one of my areas I'm most passionate about. One of the kind of hidden reasons that people struggle, that talented people struggle without even realizing.
Well, I had no idea. So that's been fantastic for me.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that.
Thank you for putting them out.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I just want to extend a heartfelt thank you for being so open and generous with your advice and your journey. And I wish you all the best with your business. I'm excited to see what unfolds for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I've just loved every minute of it.
Bye for now.
See you later.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Feminine Millionaire Show. As Kate mentioned, I have a really powerful, really easy program called the Abundance Accelerator. This is a 14-day program of 15-minute energy clearings and meditations to accelerate your income. These meditations contain subconscious energy work in a theta state to shift your belief system in a long-lasting and deep way. Energy clearing topics include the fear of judgment, the fear of success, the fear of failure, past life patterns of poverty, money shame and scarcity and lack, and much, much more. If you're called to explore this, you can find it at pollyalexander.com/abundance accelerator. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to seeing you again next week.